Fears. Weather. Fears. Food. Fears. This weather. Food. This weather. Fears. This weather. Cloudy weather. Ooh. Fears. This weather. Ooh. This weather. Fears. This weather. Cloudy weather. Ooh.
Hello, 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 dear cherished listeners, and welcome to episode 13 of EW's Binge podcast, where we're recapping and interviewing our way through season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm your host, Joey Nolfi, Drag Race beat reporter at Entertainment Weekly.
And I'm Joey's assigned psychic pairing and the only person on this podcast who knows who Charles Nelson Reilly is, EW's digital news director, Jillian Cederholm.
I don't know her. It's a beautiful, gorgeous day here in Tuckahoe Woods. And let me ask, were you all rooting for us to return? Let me quote the divine Emma Roberts when I say, surprise, bitch, etc., etc., because we're back in the house with our very first episode in a year. Jillian, does this mean we're fine, fresh, feminine, styled to 11, divine, and so heavenly?
That question is so easy, even the pit crew knows the answer.
Well, Jillian, you said what you said. Actually, Jillian and I are on a glorious hike in the foreign entity called the outdoors because we are free from four consecutive months of season 13. We're walking children in nature. We're enjoying the sunshine. Oh, wait, that tree, that looks familiar. Jillian, is that? Wait, there's Kimora. That's Kimora Hall.
I was wondering why the tree had nipples.
Girl, look how green she fucking looks, girl. Hi, Kimora.
Hi.
We're still rooting for you. Are you rooting for us on our comeback episode?
I was rooting for us.
Thank you, Kimora. She's so sweet. Jillian, let's stop and build a little fire so we can kiki in the wilderness about season 13.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Because I knew our blood sugar would be low after all of this hiking, I packed some extra sweet tooth. Jillian, here you go. Drink up.
Glug.
The smooth taste is absolutely not fooling us when it comes to season 13, a wild and crazy and really fun and super long season of RuPaul's Drag Race that, to quote Candy Muse, turned over a new leaf for the franchise we thought we knew so well. Jillian, let's kick off our very brief lightning recap with some reflection. So what stood out to you as some big moments of the season?
Yeah, I know a lot of people complain that the season felt really long, but what else did we have to do? I loved that we really got to know so many queens. I thought the lip sync pairings, it was a gag, but I thought that it paid off that we got to really know everyone, see their style. We got to see them do music videos later. So I was actually a pretty big fan of that. I thought that we also really turned a corner on representation with Gottmik, whose story was so powerful and I know meant a lot to so many people. And I thought it was just really important to see the spectrum of what is masculine and what is feminine when it comes to the show. And I just thought that was really powerful. And I just fell in love and thought Gottmik was hilarious. We also got a really gaggy moment when RuPaul changed her mind after telling Candy to sashay. And I'm like worried for repercussions for future seasons of like, will we ever believe RuPaul again? Anything's possible. She can do whatever she wants. So overall, to me, it was a really fun season with a great crop of queens. The only moment that was a little troubling for me was Utica's roast episode. Especially the rehearsal made me physically uncomfortable to watch, I'll be honest. I don't know. I had to watch it again after just like really having an uncomfortable time watching that episode. Mm-hmm. And when I watched it a second time, I was, I guess, prepared, but still, didn't sit right with me.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very polarizing is not the right word. It was a very harsh moment, and it was a wake up call for a lot of people, I think, in terms of, you know, calling into perspective what people think is comedy and what people, what qualifies as not comedy. And I think Utica herself went through that struggle as well. And we got to see that play out almost in real time as she had to sort of answer for what was going on in that episode on social media. But I think Utica understands now. And, you know, her sisters in the season seem to understand as well. So we'll get into that a little bit later with our guest today. But I think also a lot of headlines were made because there were so many interesting personalities this season. I mean, Tamisha Iman took hold of this fandom in a way that I have not seen a queen do in a really long time. She was instantly iconic to so many people. She is a legend. She, but perhaps maybe didn't take to the format of the show as well as a lot of people had hoped, but still, it was really great to see a queen coming from that old school cloth be introduced to this younger fandom and see that this younger fandom still responded to her in such a big way. I think that that sort of defies a lot of what people think about this fan base as being, you know, young and superficial and not knowledgeable about or appreciative of older drag art, because it's a lot of kids. And I think that Tamisha's popularity really spoke to the appreciation for the art form, and it's all varied kinds versus what we just see on Drag Race a lot of the time. So it was really cool to see Tamisha rise through the ranks there. And
merch queen.
The merch queen. Her merch is incredible. Tamisha Iman doormats, Tamisha Iman slides, Tamisha Iman fanny packs. Just excellence across the board. So what are some things from this season that we think should be incorporated in future seasons? Even if some of those changes were due to quarantine, do you think there's anything that worked in this season that would work in a regular season in the regular world and not in quarantine?
Yeah, I really loved having recurring guest hosts. I thought that it was really refreshing to see the judging panel really get to witness the growth of the queens throughout the season. And I mean, I was already a huge Nicole Byer fan, but I thought that Lonnie Love and T.S. Madison just really were spectacular. And I loved their interactions with the queen. They really had the perfect mix of compassionate bluntness that I thought was great. And I would fully endorse any or all of them getting a permanent spot on the judging table. As I said earlier, it was really great to see the individual performances from each queen at the reunion, that we really know what their style of drag was. It was something we talked about in our last episode of this podcast, when the final three in season 12, when we got to really see their own videos that they were doing in their homes, which just gave us so much more of their personality than normally we get at the finale. And this time we got that from queens that only got a couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that. I also would love to continue a tradition of former queens coming back and really getting time to give advice, the way that we saw Jada and Heidi and the other Miss Congenialities really spend more time with the girls versus just like a quick snatch game walkthrough. And I thought also giving Jada that moment at the finale to host, I mean, although it was like a little awkward, the drive-through hosting, but just, or the drive-in, I should say, but just having her really have like a more of a final moment to say goodbye and soak in her reign, maybe give the last reigning queen her own performance, I think would be really nice. Oh, that would really be great. Nice.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I mean, well, RuPaul certainly got the performance. That was a brilliant moment. I mean, it's like watching Cher on stage when somebody you just have that much respect for and you just see them performing on stage. It's just, there's nothing like it. It was really great. All right, hold on. Call me Psychic Char Margolis or just Raven Simone Simonier, because I am getting a vision. I think we have a Snatch Game fantasy on the horizon. Listeners, do not go anywhere. We have so many special guests coming up, including our interview with the season 13 top four, Candy Muse, Rosé, Simone, and Gottmik. Be right back.
Don't sashay away just yet. EW Binge Podcast will be back right after this.
Mm-hmm. everyone. I'm Sid Evans, editor-in-chief of Southern Living and host of Biscuits and Jam. Since 2020, I've been interviewing musicians, chefs, authors, and other Southern icons about their family traditions, their faith, their favorite meals, and of course, what it means to be Southern. And I'm excited to announce season 5 of our award-winning podcast. Join me every Tuesday for new conversations with some of the most interesting and influential Southerners around. Be sure to follow Biscuits and Jam wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us online at southernliving.com/biscuitsandjam.
Hello and welcome to Snatch Game, the EW's Binge Edition. I hope you all came prepared to slather some peanut butter all over your toast because we are bouncing back today with a very special celebrity guest, Big Frida.
Hello, everybody. It is me, LaLaurie from RuPaul's Season 13, honey, and I will have probably played Big Frida, the Queen Diva, your best of believer. Girl, down. Oh, yes.
Okay, Frida, let's play the Snatch Game. Cancel culture is out of control. Last week, Winnie the Pooh got canceled for blanking in the forest.
Now, if he was down in the NO, you know, like a shake down now. So I think Winnie the Pooh got canceled for not twerking in the forest. You gotta twerk, Pooh, you gotta twerk.
When it gets super hot in Palm Springs, Ross Matthews fries his eggs on blank.
Ross Matthews fries his eggs on Josephine Street, baby. You put them with some booty popping potatoes and you got you a whole feast. Let's go.
Last night, Michelle Visage cheated on her vegan diet. She misses the taste of blank.
Oh, they say last night, Michelle Visage had cheated on her vegan diet. She missed the taste of peanut butter. Oh, wait, that's vegan. Hold on. Let's go.
Jillian, how's your blood sugar? Are we ready to continue?
Ooh, that was whale for Gagatrandra.
Not whale.
Oh, welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are broadcasting from a cherished and honestly hallowed sacred vessel right now as we prepare to ride the waves of nostalgia and recap RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13 while sunning ourselves on the deck of Candy Muse's brand new boat, where we are joined by Captain Candy, producer Muse, Rosé, Gottmik, and Simone. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for inviting us on the boat.
Hi, Gord.
What's going on?
Hi, Gord.
Hello. Jillian, I did not know you could speak whale. Wow.
Well, Candy, wait, you didn't tell us what this boat's name was before we got on. What is this boat's
name?
Well,
baby, we are on the SS. We are on the SS Muse. And I'm laughing because I'm hoping that we crash and stink because... Listen, we are in the Hudson River, and I would like to come out of here with 3 legs and 3 arms.
A vast improvement.
This is going to be so great. Well, thank you guys for being here. We do have real interview questions to ask. First and foremost, Rosé, are you fastened securely to your chair? You're not going to fall off.
Yes. What's the reference there, Diva?
The infamous TikTok where you fall on your ass.
Oh, my love. First of all, that there was no...
What a dumb bitch.
Baby, I was just a little too heavy for that chair that day, mama. I was fastened tightly.
I love when you stick your feet up and you're in like a jazz shoe.
Yeah, it's like...
everyone has their form of slipper. Okay, I was calm.
I'm sure you were.
All right. Well, as we, you know, we're sitting here, we're lingering in the excellence of the first few days of Simone, your reign. Serious matters come to mind. Like, I have to know what was in your coronation McDonald's bag that we saw in the photo from Friday night.
Okay. This is a good question. I like these types of things. I had me a 10-piece nugget.
That's right.
Had me some fries in there. I had me 2 apple pies. Okay, and then I also got the high C orange because it's back now, and everybody is excited about that. So I had me a lovely time, baby.
No dipping sauce?
Oh, barbecue.
Okay.
You're right, Jillian. You're right. Barbecue.
You, you don't like barbecue candy
from McDonald's?
McDonald's run me my money.
I need me a ranch moment.
Right. Yes, ranch. I am with you, Candy. Are. Ranch.
I'm a barbecue diva.
Oh, honey, it's all barbecue. About the barbecue.
All right, let's go all the way back to the beginning of the longest Drag Race season ever, which began approximately 3 years ago when Gottmik was just 11 years old. You all had to lip sync on episode one and a huge twist to the format. And we now know to blame Miss Candy for all the chaos because she was the producer. Candy, I would die when you were just like, you knew what to say, you know what stuff was going to end up in confessionals, and you knew how to play certain situations. So was Candy like, I'll ask this to everybody, was Candy just like literally running the set? Did the real producers ever have to be like, Candy, let us do our job?
I think that, see, I knew going into Drag Race we were doing a competition, but at the same time I knew that there was a camera there, there's a camera there, there's a camera there, and we are mic'd, and there are a bunch of people listening to what we're saying. Only the dumb and funny shit gets put on TV and the sad stories. So once I was done talking about my family dying in a plane crash, I was like, okay, now make it funny. Oh, and I knew at some point something will make it in the edit.
May I ask a question? Moving on to the competition, Gottmik, you seemed shook when your verse from Congratulations played for everyone during rehearsals, and seemed like it kind of outed you for the others before you had opened up to them about being trans. Did you have a plan for when you wanted to discuss it with the group?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I was like outed. I just think I was just, I didn't expect us to just get thrown in rehearsal like that. It was just kind of like the first time. And I definitely wrote those lyrics. And I wanted to, in my brain, it was, Drag Race was a lot slower than it actually is. So I was like, okay, we're going to record. We're going to go back. We're going to kiki. We're going to talk. No, we just recorded. We like got thrown out there. I was like, oh, this is the actual song. Here we go. Buckle up, baby. And then it just happened. But it was fine. It worked out. And I have like, everyone on season 13 was so supportive for the most part, and it was just amazing.
we're gonna get to it. I promise you, we're gonna get to it,
baby.
But this, oh, Candy, I know you're ready. I know you're ready. But you know, Gottmik, as the first trans man on the show, I think a lot of people really liked seeing you speak about representing for alternative forms of transgender identity on TV, and you fully embraced being a feminine trans man out of drag, as opposed to what you were saying you see trans men usually represented on TV. So from your perspective, what changes or differences have you seen in terms of the way the community talks about or views trans men since you rose to prominence on TV? Have you seen a noticeable change in the way people even talk about it on social media?
Yeah, I actually, like, going into the show, I obviously said that I had not seen any really femme trans man representation, period. And then I went in and then I was talking about like my top surgery, and I was talking about dysphoria and just a bunch of things like that. And then I would go and see like Reddit articles about, it was full of trans guys writing basically essays about how they've never seen someone talk about their top surgery or talk about dysphoria or all these things, period. Let alone me being feminine and taking it that step further. So it was just even more simple than I made it in my head, which is just so crazy to see. And I'm just so honored and blessed to be able to come into this platform where I am showing my art and what I've worked so hard to do and love so much. And then also just have that side of me that I've worked so hard on and been able to just be the most authentic me I could possibly be and say what I needed to say. And I'm just, I feel like I have won in a unique way just because of how I've connected with so many people, and I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful seeing you do that.
Well, thank you.
It was also, speaking of beauty, Candy, you were not shy about your attraction to Joey J throughout the season. You had to say goodbye to your little crush pretty early on. Has anything happened between you two since?
Sorry, I'm laughing because you said beauty, and I'm pretty sure Rosé thought you were talking about her. You know, me and Joey, after the season ended, we tried things here and there, but girl, listen, the tea is we are too busy I'm a very busy queen, and I'm kidding. I love Dory. No, we're two very busy queens, and we are two completely different sides of the country. I think, I don't know if Arizona's on the East Coast or not, but I would imagine it's not on the East Coast. So I'm in the East Coast, she's in Arizona, wherever that is, and we are just very far apart from each other. Hopefully one day in the future we will rekindle what we had, or what I thought we had. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you have, Gorge?
Oh, Gorge.
Candy, we are living in the digital era. I mean, distance is nothing. I mean,
I understand, but there are also five more white little white twinks in Brooklyn that look just like Joey's, I guess, so it's fine.
Oh, my God. Now, one pairing I think that was not harmonious this season, Candy and Tamisha. I mean, the fight, it was what a lot of people were talking about for many, many days after that episode aired. I mean, Candy, knowing this competition so well and knowing what plays on camera and having studied the show for so long, do you think maybe in that moment you were maybe leaning into the drama of the moment more than maybe you would have in the real world because the cameras were there? Or was it just such an intense pressure cooker of a situation that it really just did blow up to something that you guys hadn't anticipated?
I mean, it was a little bit of both. At the end of the day, that day, the ball episode was a really hard episode. We were doing three looks, and it was a very long day. After having a very long night, staying up all night, constructing all of our outfits. And obviously, you know, I was safe, and Tamisha was being badly critiqued that day. And I'm sure she felt some type of way. By the time she got backstage, she wanted to let it out on someone, and that person was me. But, you know, at the same time, like I said, I knew we were filming a TV show, and I know that what goes down in Untucked can go down to Drag Race history. However, I was upset in the moment at the things that Tamisha was saying. But after we finished filming, I don't take any of that to heart, because at the end of the day, we were filming a damn TV show, yeah. And, you know, it's a pressure cooker on Drag Race, and tensions are really high, because at the end of the day, you are competing to not be eliminated week by week, and that week, unfortunately, she was in the bottom. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting here pretty safe. But, you know, since then, we really haven't spoken since the show's ended. But she is about to have an amazing career. And like I said, I've always been so happy because Tamisha really, truly is one of the first Black older pageant queens to come on the show, and we received the love that she's been receiving. And also, listen, we have the highest IMDb score for Untucked, and we're also nominated for an MTV Award. So, that's iconic television.
Candy's going into her producer notes. Knows everything. She literally knows everything. Well, how did you feel about how things transpired after? Because Tamisha said at the reunion that she would have hit you if this was in the real world. So how did you respond when you heard that for the first time?
I think that anyone in the real world that knows me knows that no one would fight against Candy Muse. But, you know, she has her opinions about me, and I have mine. And we don't have connections with each other. She doesn't. I don't think she has connections with any of us here in the top four. So like I said, we went into a TV show. We did a TV show where we were castmates. We left. We don't have to be friends. We'll respect each other. After the episode aired, obviously, I got a lot of hate from a lot of fans. A lot of fans.
Yeah. Can you guys maybe all speak to that? I guess the sort of love, because I seem to be sensing that there was a disconnect between how the queens felt about Candy and then how certain fans were feeling about Candy, because I only ever watched Candy and saw an amazing personality, somebody who knows how to make really good TV. It was a really fun person, and I really enjoyed you, Candy, but there was just a really strange backlash against you. So can you guys speak to that disconnect of what you guys were seeing and what the fans were seeing?
I personally thought it was very insane, because I mean, ask any of us, anyone on set, we loved Candy, and like everything that everyone seems to fucking hate about her for whatever reason. It's probably because she is bigger and she is of color and she's confident in herself and she's loud. But that's all the things that we loved about her on set. Of course, you know, like it was just Candy to us. So for the fans to come and like attack her like that was really hard to see.
Yeah, there's just certain things that I just didn't do after that fight aired. I knew that I was getting the hate. I wasn't dumb. That weekend, I fully logged off of social media. I was like, I'm not dealing with it. They've already contacted my family. This is a lot to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I was going through it because it was like, it was the entire world against me. And what I didn't understand was whoever was wrong or right, in that moment, I was like, listen, I know the fans are very passionate about the TV show. And I am very happy that TV show has these loyal diehard fans. I live for that. But at the end of the day, I was kind of getting the shitty end of the stick about the whole situation. Where in reality, if you watch back the Untucked, I was just defending myself.
Well, and something that I think people sometimes forget is that Tamisha started that fight. So
she did. 1,000%.
Out of the blue. So I think therein there's even more of a responsibility to kind of, you know, put it out. You know? Mm-hmm. So but it's definitely listen, like, people can be, they can feel intimidated and threatened by enormous personalities like Candy. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, racism does come into play. So,
yeah. That's 1,000%.
Well, let's move on to something a little bit lighter. I mean, Snatch Game it was just such a highlight of this season for so many reasons. I mean, Godmik, Paris Hilton, just amazing. Rosé as Lawrence Chaney was just incredible.
Oh my God.
And then, I mean, Simone, Harriet Tubman. I mean, that might be one of my favorite Snatch Games of all time. It's just so absurd. It was so good. But it made waves when people were expecting you to be in the high placement that week, and then you were safe, especially with that amazing runway you had that week. A lot of fans were shocked. So was there maybe, I know that there is so much filmed for this stuff that we hardly get to see. Were there maybe more moments that we didn't see on camera from you as Harriet?
I feel like yes. I feel like I had some pretty good moments in there for sure. But, you know, it didn't make it in the end, and that's fine. But I had a good-ass song playing Harriet.
Are you covering your microphone? I think you're covering.
Am I covering my microphone?
Yes, you are. You are.
You
are.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead. Sorry. We just couldn't hear you.
Of course, there was some stuff cut out. My whole thing was in there. But, I mean, that's just, it didn't make it in the edit, and that's fine. But I had a great ass time. What they did show was stunning. It was lovely. So it had the people upset and mad. That was good enough, I see. Mm-hmm. But I had a great time playing Harriet, and I knew it was going to be, I knew people at first were going to be like, wait, what? You think that's what you're going to do? Okay. But I knew what I was doing the entire time, and I knew how I wanted to do it. And so
do you remember?
I'm glad people received it very well.
Do you remember maybe a joke or something that you did that we didn't see?
Oh my God. No, it was such a long time ago. And Snatch Game is like such a blur because you film it. It's like, it's longer than people think, but it's also like you go in, you just, you're just so in it. So I don't personally remember anything, but I also have the memory of a goldfish. So.
So, sorry to get back into a little bit of drama. We promise this interview is not going to be all drama, but
let's do it.
Around the start of the season, Elliot got into some hot water, we'll say, for a video where she called Simone your fashion. She said that she liked that your fashion wasn't, quote, aggressive. Uh-huh. And she got a lot of flack for that, of people calling her out for a microaggression. Can you walk us through your feelings on that video and the fallout from that and her saying that?
Well, God, where do I go with this? How do I start this? I know what type of person that Elliot is. I know the type of mindset that she has. I'm from the South. We're both from the South. So I know exactly what type of what she was saying when she said that. And it is, in a way, offensive because my art is my art, and it shouldn't matter if it was aggressive the entire time. Like, none of that matters. It was my art. And for you to say that type of mindset, those types of words, those type of microaggressions are literally what leads to what happened this summer with George Floyd. So my feelings are, at first I wasn't taken aback by, because I was like, oh, maybe she misspoke. But then what really got me was her going online and defending it and saying she was complimenting me. And when people were trying to explain to her what was going on, she still didn't want to hear it or receive it. So at that point, it's kind of like, I'm done. I wish you the best. I really don't have anything against you, as far as I don't wish any ill will against you. But if you're not going to learn anything from it, if you're not going to try to understand what's going on, then there's really nothing I can say, or do you feel there's really no moving forward for me personally. So I just hope that she one day does get to, there's a place of understanding, because it's, that's some real shit. And those types of things that you say, those little views that people sprout in their head, that leads to more harm to people that look like me, or that look like Candy, or that look like Olivia. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I wish the girl well. I don't have any malice against her, but it's ignorance. And, you know, you can't really reason with that. Mm-hmm. So those are my thoughts.
Candy, you had also mentioned that there were other microaggressions maybe going on with Elliot during filming. Can you speak more to that? And if that was something that was brought up during filming of the show in the workroom to her?
I think people know that I was very vocal about the way Elliot acted on set certain times off camera. I think people thought, oh, well, why is Drag Race editing these things out? A lot of things weren't said on camera, and it's not Drag Race's fault. A lot of things were done off camera, and I've been very vocal about it, about the microaggressions. And since filming in our season 13 group chat, I've given her opportunities to apologize, and I've given her opportunities to talk about it. And the only thing I got in return was a block on all social media. So, you know, you can apologize on Twitter and all you want, but it just seems very performative to me, because if you don't have the decency and the audacity to apologize to your cast members that you have offended, then your apologies mean nothing to me. And I, like I said, I don't wish her any ill will, and I don't want people to bully her online, and because I know how that felt, being attacked. But at the same time, if you're not going to learn from the mistakes that you did, then what is the point of you going on a video with the president of the NAACP?
Yeah. What was
Yeah, there are just many things that seem very performative to me. And it's just like, well, girl, you've offended your fans.
Not even just, it's performative, and there's a lack of accountability.
Right.
So where are we supposed to go? And then and to me, it's, you're trying to have people come in and cover for you for what you said. What you said is what you said. That doesn't change any of that. And it doesn't, and you're not taking accountability for it. So then where are we supposed to go? What am I supposed to say to you?
You know, and the funny part about this whole situation is that throughout the entire season, I got called by the fans. I got called a liar, because they were like, oh, well, Candy, you're the only one saying this. Why isn't anyone else speaking up? Well, you know what? Because it's not anyone else's job to speak up. Me as a person of color, there's no reason for you to need proof of what I'm saying is truth or not.
Yeah.
It's like I said, if you don't take accountability, then there's no point of apologizing, because you're not changing and you're not going from what you did. So it is what it is.
All right. Let's switch gears a little bit here.
Yes.
We do have a lot of fun things that we would like to ask, talk about.
Also, wait, hold on. Before I do want to say thank you for even asking those questions, because I do feel like these are important topics that get brushed under the rug, and then you move on to the next season, and then they don't get spoken about.
Totally.
So thank you.
Well, no, Simone, I mean, you and I talked about this when we did the interview before. So this is, you know, this is not anything new. Switching gears, we do want to talk about, so have any of you heard Tina's boy band song?
No.
No.
What's the boy band called?
Fifth Ring. And you know what? We have a very special surprise. We have a musical guest, and we're going to listen to a brief snippet of musical masterpiece, otherwise known as Fifth Ring's hit single, Can't Say. And please feel free to say in the moment how you guys feel about the song.
I can't listen.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Oh, I'm going to play it.
Can't say, mama.
Here we go.
Is this New Life?
This is Fifth Ring.
I know, but it sounds like something you hear.
Wait,
in New Life.
Wait, I think Tina played this for me. Does it? Isn't there a Spanish version?
I think so. Yes.
Wait,
she has
but
a Spanish
I'm
version.
I'm low key into this.
It's good.
Oh, you're gonna put it in the mix.
How would you guys lip sync to that song? Do you know? Can you devise a?
I wouldn't probably.
You know what? You know what it gives me?
I wouldn't, my love. That doesn't sound like a Simone brand, my love.
it gives me very much Britney Spears when she was on the beach deck in all white.
Yes,
with the little crop top.
Or sometimes, yes.
Sometimes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I run.
Those would literally mash up so well, actually.
where was that a hit single?
Why would you say why wasn't that a hit single?
No, where was that hit single that you said it was a hit single?
In Europe, oh, right? No.
In this podcast.
Yes, in this podcast, it's a hit. It went straight to number one on this podcast chart. So I also want to go to another moment that people loved this season. I mean, it had so many people talking involving Tina, the makeover. Rose.
The make under, darling. Face. The make under. Yes. Hello.
Yeah, that face that Tina did on you. It so many memes. I mean, it was everywhere. Was there ever a moment where you just considered like grabbing the brush and doing it yourself? Or did you try to like steer her in a different direction or give her tips as she was painting?
No, because here's the thing. We were teammates and I was just like, bitch, I cannot go home right now. I was like, what I am responsible for is what I painted on her, which I'm very proud of. And I was like, all I have to do is embody her. And I was like, and out of all these bitches, thank God I'm the one she's painting, because any of these other hoes would be freaking out looking like that on their runway.
It would have been a nightmare in the workroom.
But I loved it.
Nightmare.
But I loved it. I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, I look ridiculous. Like, this will be so fun. And also, you know, by comparison, that made me look like a fucking makeup artist on the daily, bitch. So it was everything. it was fun. Obviously, like, I turned around. You see it in the episode. I turn around and I look in the mirror. I'm like, oh, I was like, yeah, good. But there's that. Yeah, the meme face is hysterical. I guess I was, like, really taking a second to study just the details. But I loved that. I thought it was fun.
It is an art piece in itself. It deserves to be. There's that meme of the Mona, wait, what are people calling it? The Mona Tina,
baby,
the Mona Tina.
No, the Tina Lisa. we made that because we made merch out of it. It's Tina's little hand painting me, and my body's the Mona Lisa, but the face is not. The Tina Lisa, darling.
Another fun moment for the most part was the roast. We had secret comedians in our midst. Fuck. There were a lot of high points. But one moment that came off maybe a little strange was Utica being so nervous at first during not wanting to offend anyone during some of the earlier challenges. And then during the roast, there was definitely some fans who expressed that they were offended or maybe a little bit hurt by her set. Can you tell us, did it come across in person the same way as it came across to viewers? And do you think it was a matter of humor?
I just like to say, watching it on TV, there was nothing like actually being in that room. I'm just being real with you, baby.
Uh-huh. In what way?
In the awkwardness, the uncomfortability was just out of this world. I love her. That's my girl. But my God, that was... And I'm talking about me, but thank God for her because she made me look stunning. So...
There were parts of her set that we were like, there's no way they're gonna fucking show that, and they showed it.
And they did. And
they showed it.
And also, they did.
They showed it. And I think for us, like, the craziest part was, you know, we were kind of like, you know, what is Utica going through on this day? But it's okay. We did not have access to the pleasure of seeing the rehearsal with Michelle and Lonnie prior, and like,
oh, yeah.
And fully, like, she came back into the workroom and she's like, this is gonna be great, and like watching that rehearsal.
But I think also, as I think that there were a lot of people that were offended. As someone who has been offended by a roast before, you can ask Bob the Drag Queen. I blocked her on Twitter before him.
Oh.
As someone who has been offended by a roast, I have had to learn what a roast is about, mm-hmm. and what a roast is. You are essentially roasting people for stuff that they can't change. You poke fun at them.
Yeah.
And in this new age of Drag Race, everyone's going to be so afraid of doing any little thing to not offend a fan. Mm. And I think what fans have to realize is that a roast is about that.
Yeah.
Was she making fat jokes? I was the biggest bitch in the room, and I was kikiing and laughing at how terrible those jokes were. But I wasn't necessarily offended, you know. And the fact that she had to issue an apology after a roast is like, okay, well, it's
wild. I'll say it. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's also, well, there's an art to delivering a roast joke, you know, like Candy... I also commented on your size, but it was a kiki. Also, you and I have a friendship where we roast each other all day long. So
yeah, that's why you lost, bitch.
Baby, you lost too, mama. But yeah, it's, you know, there's an art to it. So
Well, I mean, I think Utica was very, I mean, in the exit interview we did, she, you know, said that she understands humor a little bit more now. So I think it was, you know, again, we always say it, that it's hard to fully empathize with the pressure that you guys are under in these situations. So you don't know what's going to come out from
and
anybody.
And also, I want to say on this, it is intent. Like, she wasn't sitting there trying to, like, I don't think she was truly being evil in that moment.
Right.
Like,
no.
I just think she didn't know how to, like, it's just hard. I wrote this hard, okay?
Yeah.
I think people need to really focus on that when they're coming for right. people. It's like, the girl wasn't trying yeah. to, like,
the true evil
really
one,
hurt anyone's feelings.
The true evil one was Got Meg. I had to tell her to take off these jokes. They were so evil.
Got Meg, cannot deny. So good in that challenge. You were so good.
Thanks. Yeah, I want to roast every day of my life. But like these bitches are saying, like, it is, the fans truly, I don't know if they understand that roasts are gnarly. And so when I was telling all my friends, like, I've been on Drag Race in the past, I was like, I want to go on roast tours, girl. And they're like, gone are the days, mama. We are not allowed to go on roast tours anymore. I'm like, oh.
We missed that window, babe.
Yeah, truly. I literally love just getting up there and reading my friends. Like, the fact that that's a career option is crazy to me. And I would love that. Like, if I was up every day and all I had to do was go on stage and drink and just roast these bitches every day, it would be like my dream career. So who knows?
Well, Bob the Drag Queen has consistently called you the comedy queen of the season. So maybe there's headline tour.
Yeah. Yes, and it'll just be like, the flyer will just be quotes from Bob.
And Paris Hilton can record the tour video interludes.
Yeah.
Just and people are like, what is this vocal fry mess of subpar comedy?
That video that you guys did after the Snatch Game was so sweet. I love how much she was into your Snatch Game performance. Did you go, because you knew her so well, were you like nervous about doing her for Snatch Game?
A little bit. I mean, I didn't know her so well, and that's why I was actually nervous. I've just painted her a handful of times, like a client vibe, and I have never shown her Got Meg and like shown her that side of me. So I was like, okay, she's just gonna randomly be like, not even knowing that that's me, and then find out and be like, what? So I need to kind of reel it in and be like professional but funny at the same time. And I think I did, and I was so happy. She's such a dope, cool, amazing human, and she was just so down. So,
That's great. Yes. Now, there was also another development this season. Utica and Olivia hinted at their date at the reunion, and when I did Olivia's exit interview, she said that they had seen each other since the season. So, but what do you guys know of this situation? Did you guys pick up on like romantic vibes at all?
Not at all.
Wait, no. What?
Like, literally, what? Not at all. Like, what?
That is disgusting.
Not out of nowhere. All. Like,
and I actually asked Olivia about it, and she was like, "Oh my God, Nick, stop it!" And I was like, "What?
What?
I literally have. I'm so confused. Who is topping in that situation?"
Well, I'll tell you who's talking in that situation.
Yeah.
Y'all heard me during the reading challenge.
Oh, my God. Oh, true, bitch.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. Gorge. Let's segue out of this to, before we get to the finale, I need to talk to you, Simone, about, you know, I love the semifinal lip sync moment to Whitney when you pull out that Whitney Houston sweat rag / handkerchief.
Yes.
I lost my damn mind. Was that something that you had planned from the beginning, or are you a big enough Whitney fan that you just like improvised that on the set that day? Like, you're at craft services and you see a handkerchief.
We had to do it one by one. And so I was last, thank God. And I was like, wait, how can I make this my moment? And I was like, and then I was asked when the PA or PAs or handler, I forget his actual title, but Joel, I was like, give me a towel. I need a towel, Joel. And he went and got me one. And so literally it was just me being like, I want to make this lip sync like my own. And I love Whitney Houston. And this is like, I mean, what an honor to get to do it on the main stage.
And I am.
And like,
it was so good. I'm so glad that the camera operator zoomed in too, so we could get that shot of you with your finger up with it in your hand right there. It's exactly like, my mind immediately went to that performance of Whitney like 20 years ago. I was
See what you didn't know. Is that we actually all had handkerchiefs in our hands, but they
no.
edited out.
Yeah. I actually, no, I had two. I had two, but they edited it out. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. One was just for sweat, though, because you know me, but yeah.
You're a man.
Yes, Diva. Yes, Diva.
Well, Simone, this whole season, I mean, it came to a head and a very long nailed foot when you won $100,000. And according to mathematician Candy Muse, though, it's $1 million with a couple extra zeros.
Baby!
This finale, it really was unlike anything we have ever seen. It was incredible. Your looks were all amazing. I mean, not a bad look on the stage. It was so great.
Thank you.
We were like, okay, how do you top yourself for the grand finale? How do you make it more grand, bigger, better? And you know, it's like you said, like it's a finale we've never seen, and it's like the highest rating on VH1.
Yeah,
yes, baby.
Yeah, we love that.
Yeah, that just came through today. So big ratings, you guys pulled it in.
Yeah, it was really amazing. All of your looks were stunning. Simone, on your black and white look, some fans clocked that the fur looked like it came from Gigi's makeover look. Was that is that true? Was that an homage?
I have to get my own, honey. No, I have my own.
So that was not a planned Easter egg?
No.
Go to the fan fictions.
Fan fiction, honey. We sisters, but we share things, but not our first.
Nope. I wore God Makes Shoes for the finale.
On what? You're on your hands, bitch? As if. Yeah.
No, I think for the most part, we all wanted to just go there and be like, fine, fresh, and fierce, and just bring like something new to the table. And honestly, sure. Like, listen, good luck to the next girls, because topping that finale, I don't know how you're going to do it.
Girl, I wouldn't even bother for that finale. That was wild.
That was crazy.
When you open with a RuPaul performance like that, I mean, that
it was
just,
so
it
feels good.
She looks stunning.
It feels so
the
special.
Legs,
I mean,
the hair.
Yes.
The choreo. Like the dancing was fierce.
The choreo.
It was the ball gun.
Everything
the body.
Was good.
Mariah.
Now,
Mother.
Rosé,
yes.
I mean, the finale had a lot of people talking for many reasons about you as well. First and foremost, everybody seems to want to know if your brother is single.
No, my brother is happily married with two children.
Oh.
That, you I didn't even know that.
So many fans. it was great seeing your family. Your family seems like a really fun group of people. It was really nice.
They
to
are.
See
I love that the world got to get a more in-depth introduction to them and to hear the accents too. That was really fun.
Yes.
That was really cute. I loved that.
No, it was, I think, hurtful for a lot of people to see your hurt ankle. What is the story with how you hurt your ankle, and how much did that actually impact you going into the final lip sync?
I mean, it was over 3 months ago now. I was actually dancing with Denali, and I tripped and just landed on my foot the wrong way. And it really fucked me. And I thought my physical therapist, and I thought it was going to be like a couple of weeks, but the injury just never got better because it was sprained in a stiletto. So like the position of being in high heels is just really traumatic. I'm almost better, but that finale was the like first time that I was able to get on like a real pair of heels. And like my looks for the ball, we were constantly redesigning, like stressing out if like I could wear heels at all. Like, would you be able to see my feet? Will this be a gown? Will this be a that? So yeah, it was stressful. And I definitely think it impacted my journey. But to be honest, you know, when RuPaul was like, Rosé, this is not your time. I was like, no shit, bitch. I was like, this has been fucking crazy. I had to like learn how to walk again. But I'm so proud like of what, you know, happened, you know, and I wouldn't change it, you know, and it's all good.
I mean, yeah, you're great. You looked amazing. I mean, you got so many fans this season. I mean, it's like you guys are all going to have incredible careers after this show. So, I mean,
thanks,
it was
Joey.
Amazing to see all
Thank
of you.
And she still, don't get it twisted. Listen, Rosé was still putting up a fight on that stage. She was still giving it to
me.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Yes.
I don't think she would have beat me with a good ankle or not, but she put up a
fight. You fucking bitch.
She really put up a fight. Yeah.
Thanks, Candy.
You know, usually, and especially the structure of the beginning of the season, I think having no elimination for 3 episodes. We got to know Kimora in a way that we haven't gotten to know a first eliminated queen in a really long time. Yeah. And correct. Seeing her again with a music video at the end and seeing Joey with a music video, it's like we got to see them perform in context that we wouldn't normally see in a regular season. So
that's true.
Well, I think fans wanted a reunion in some capacity. This was a really great alternative because it is good for the careers of the people involved in the show, because we got Kimora on what, 6-7 episodes now instead of just one.
Yeah,
so literally. I mean, it was really good to give back to the performers, I think.
And so, like,
yeah, go ahead, Candy.
It would have been hard to even top season 9's reunion, so we're good. We're good.
We're still trying to top season 9's reunion. That. There you go.
All right. The last question that I want to ask to you, Simone, is where is an area of the industry that you want to impact most with your title? What do you want the world to look like under a Simone Queendom?
I don't want to, I keep getting asked that question. I don't want to do just one thing. I want to do everything. I want to, like, because I don't want to be put into a box. That really annoys me, and I don't like the idea of that. So I want to act. I want to be in fashion campaigns. I want to be on runways. I want to, you know, do more activism work. I want to tour. I want to see the fans. You know, like, I want to do everything, and I don't want to just be one type of queen. I think long gone are those days, because we've had to kind of make it do what it do during this pandemic. So I want to do everything, honey. I want to impact all of them.
Well, what's next for everybody? What does everybody have coming up?
Who's gonna start?
I'll start. Very, very shortly, Miss Rose is going to finally be releasing original music. I'm really, really excited. Stuff I've been working on throughout the season, and I'm so thrilled I can finally get it out to the public. I feel like I'm, you know, giving birth to my little art baby. you know, as we just announced this week, you know, I'll be going around the world chirping and singing. That's the very first thing on my schedule. But just like Simone, I don't really want to set any boundaries for myself. You know, as I showed on the show, like, I have lots of interests and lots of talents, and I want to, you know, work in film and television. I want to do it all. So, but yeah, music right now is first, because it's done.
We'll be doing some touring soon, and I'm also doing things, you know, in the fashions as well that are coming out very soon. And I want to, and there will be some hosting things going on. So
yeah,
stay tuned, babes.
Yes. No, I'm literally the exact, I think we're all in the same boat with that. We all just got off Drag Race, where we were forced to do an experiment with every part of art you could ever experiment in the shortest amount of time, and we all kind of excelled in our own ways in so many different ways. And so after seeing that, it just proved in my mind, I was like, the limit does not exist. And I'm sure my fans are going to be forced to watch some crazy things that I fail at on a very public level, because I'm never going to say no. I'm never going to sleep again. And I want to literally do everything. So I'm very excited.
Yes, got Meg.
Yes.
Candy, what about you?
I'm going to retire. And I think
retire to your boat.
No, honestly, you know, now with being the runner-up of Drag Race, I would like at some point come back into the competition as an All-Stars to reclaim my crown. But honestly, even besides that, I want to do more. Reclaim. Thank you, Simone. I just want to do more television, and television is what I love to do. I love to entertain. I love to just be the one. I like to be the class clown on the TV, making people laugh and feel joyful. Definitely will be touring around the world, you know, hopefully soon with some of my sisters. But nonetheless, definitely want to be back on TV, and I found a passion for being on reality television. I grew up with reality television, you know, with Tiffany, New York Pollard. Yes. So if I can be that for this generation, period.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love to see it. Yes. Right? Truly. Wait,
what is it that you said you wanted to do on set? What's the show?
Oh, listen, I want to do a dating show. And it's going to be a drag queen dating show. It's going to be on VH1, you're listening. And I want to do, it's going to be me and 13 men. Period. No. It's going to be me and 13 men. And it's going to be called us. No. What is it? We're going to do like a piece of candy or a shot of love with candy. No, it was
Damn it, what was it? It was so good.
Candy's Canes.
What's going to happen is every week for the elimination for the episode, I'm going to bring in one of my drag sisters, and they're going to be there throughout the episode to help the guys with the challenges and to help me with the elimination. Baby, if that's not a pilot, I don't know what is.
I mean, sold. I mean, Simone, $100,000, let's fund that. I mean...
All right. I can help my sister out. She better make the coin back, though. Yeah. She better make my coin back.
Well, we're already... I think Simone and I have a production company going. We're funding the show for her mom, and now we're going to fund the Candy's dating show. So let's just... We got that there production company going.
Here we
All right. And with that, Jillian, I think we need to grab our flotation devices because it's time for us to disembark Candy's boat. Simone, can you throw us those Diana Ross breasts from your bag ball look so we can use them as life preservers?
Oh, I got them right here, honey. Come on over here.
Just blow them up again and just...
Girl, we all sing. We all sing in the Hudson River, bitch.
Oh, I'm going to have three legs too, mama. I can't wait.
Thank you, everybody, so much for being here. Rosé, Simone, Gottmik, Candy Muse. You guys are excellence personified. It has been such a pleasure watching each of you become superstars. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joey. Thanks, Jillian.
Well, Jillian, just sitting here floating on both of Simone's Diana Ross breasts and our Tamisha Iman branded inner tubes, a hot new item, because Candy threw us overboard from the boat. So I guess we should close the show before we burn to a crisp in the sun that's crispy crispier than Olivia Lux's hairline from the ball episode. What do you think?
You're the one who's bombing, but I'm still embarrassed. We both showed up to tape this podcast wearing the same boxer outfit.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, as always, to the lovely queens who joined us today, who we can see riding Candy's boat into the sunset. Wave, Jillian, Rosé, Candy Muse, Gottmik, and Simone, our reigning diva.
Thank you to everyone. All three legs on Candy.
Candy's three legs and Simone's three arms. Thank you to everybody for joining us. Dear, cherished, and iconic listeners, for sticking with us through this chaos. And thank you to Miss Congeniality Lala Ree for doing her Snatch Game fantasy. Thank you to Nature for hosting our recording this week. And thank you, Entertainment Weekly, for keeping us employed. We said what we said, and good night.
Good night. The lady said go home.
Fears. Weather. Fears. Food. Fears. There's weather. Food. There's weather. Fears. There's weather. Cloudy weather. Ooh. Fears. There's weather. Food. There's weather. Fears. There's weather. Cloudy weather. Ooh.